Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Mom.
You want to come downstairs for some hamburger pickles?
Yeah, I'll be right down.
Okay, good, Jimmy. I'll see you down there. I bought 500 of them for us to eat together.
Okay, I'll be right down.
Hey, everybody.
Oh, yes.
You know the grape stomp? You know the grape stomp lady?
Hang on, I'm not done.
Oh, you're still...
I'm not done. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Big Picture Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, what were you saying?
You remember the grape stomp lady? You ever seen the grape stomp lady? The old video.
No,
like,
what's
that? Has to be like 15 years old or something. Where she's
internet video kind of thing?
Internet, where she's they're at this like Renaissance fair or something, and they're stomping grapes, and they're like, so you go and you stomp them, and then she falls off. She falls off of her grip and she hits the ground and loses her breath. She's like, ooh, man, go do yourself a favor. Pause this and go look that up and then come back. And you'll hear Jason in that voice.
Oh, she's my predecessor.
That same like, ooh, it's the same thing.
All right. Don't get me started here.
Oh, boy.
All right, Chris, we're coming off our great debate. A lot of people were worried about each other's feelings, and just so everyone knows, it's purely about the debate, and nothing's personal. But we'd love to get your feedback and hear who won, because there's always a winner.
Yes, always. Yeah, and if you're a patron, you can help shape the next great debate by placing your vote on our Facebook group. So join there. $2 per vote. Great price.
Chris, last week on Monday, you were the boy band member who got a little older and shaved his head and started wearing denim or something.
Right.
And started kind of recreating his career, reinventing himself. And this week, where are we going on safari?
Oi. That's all I have.
You used to say your wife picked out your clothes. Is that still going on?
Oh.
Or have things changed? Because you're wearing some very manly, rugged gear lately.
No, she doesn't pick out my clothes unless we're going somewhere in public. This isn't considered public because this isn't real life. YouTube is not real life. Podcasts don't matter because you don't have to wear pants. So,
yep.
No, she doesn't pick it out for this. I told her, I showed her, I said, what do you think? I'm doing the podcast today. I said, I'm going for Digital Cowboy. And she laughed. Yeah, she usually doesn't think my jokes are funny. So that was nice. You know, 15 years of marriage, and
nice. It's
nice to hear her laugh every now and then.
Every now and then.
Yeah.
Going in that direction, yeah. I like it, Chris. So, we're going to do a Q&A today. We got some great questions. We have some, they're challenging. We have some challenging questions, Chris.
Yeah.
They're not easy situations, and that's why they're questions. Send us your questions at paidsearchpodcast.com on the contact page. Or leave us a message on Facebook or Twitter. Chris, I'll hand it off to you to tell us about Opteo, and then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Guys, I'm going to tell you about our favorite tool to automating your time-consuming tasks on Google Ads. Okay? Let's step outside of the paid search podcast a bit, and let's talk about one of the things that there are many fans of. We've drawn a line in the sand, but there are many fans out there of specific campaign structures, account structures. And we're talking about skags. There are still people out there that like skags. Guys, you can still be a part of the cool club, right? I mean, we still like you. It's fine. We're still supporters of people that like skags. We just don't do it. And I'll tell you what, Opteo is your best friend. The skaggers out there, believe it or not, this tool is designed to help you with things like that. If you want to create detailed skagging campaigns, right? You want to do things that would take a tremendous amount of time. Part of the reason why we don't like it is because of the time investment. This is the tool to help you automate time-consuming tasks. You can create detailed skagging campaigns, accounts. You can fix keyword duplication, keyword cannibalization, and other structure issues, all directly in this tool. Other things like improving your search terms, right? Usually I have to, when I do training, I talk about people, you know, here's the task of helping your search terms and improving your, it's a time consuming task. This is a swipe, 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 back and forth, bam, 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 go through it, block, add, block, add, block, add. It's beautiful. It's simple, it's beautiful, and anyone can do it. That's the idea behind Opteo. You get a 2-month free trial with a special offer directly through our show. You're not going to hear it anywhere else. Opteo.com/PSP2. That's Opteo.com/PSP2. Use the chat box at the bottom and say, hey, I see there's a 30-day offer. Can I get a 60-day, a 2-month offer? And they'll give it to you because you're a listener of the Paid Search Podcast. So check them out. Support our sponsors, because by supporting them, you support us.
Thanks, Chris. And we also have a lot of professionals that listen to the show and a lot of aspiring professionals that want to get more clients. So I want to tell you about Kyle Solarud's Elite Local Ads. Elite Local Ads is all about helping you get more customers for any local business using a proven Google Ads formula that's guaranteed to work. So if you're running Google Ads for a local business or for many local businesses, then we encourage you to check out EliteLocalAds.com. Elite Local Ads is a comprehensive training program put together by our friend Kyle Solarud, designed to help you get more customers for any local business using Google Ads. The program includes 8 complete training modules covering everything from keywords to ads to advanced campaign optimization, retargeting, and more. It's not an inexpensive program, but the value is off the charts, and there's even a 30-day refund policy if you're at all worried about the investment. Kyle says with over 150 students, he's only ever had one person request a refund. You can see more for yourself at EliteLocalAds.com, including several testimonials from people who have been through the program already. Again, that's for anyone who's running Google Ads campaigns for local businesses. Check out EliteLocalAds.com. It'll help you get more customers. We will have links to Elite Local Ads and Opteo in the show notes. So, Chris, with that said, why don't you kick us off here? And why don't we open up here with a banger of a question about your something you're very familiar with, B2B.
Yeah. All right. So we're going down to Miami. That's it. I've been there once at the airport, so I have nothing to say about the culture, the people, or the weather. You have anything about Miami that you like? Okay.
When me and Cynthia were in the midst of our young love affair.
Oh, wow.
She went to Miami for work, and we had just started getting to know each other and getting through that period of long distance in our relationship. That week she was down there for work. It was a momentous occasion in our relationship.
Wow. That was...
And I'll never forget Miami, even though I wasn't there.
That was a waste of 30 seconds. All right. Vanessa from Miami, Florida. I recently got a client who does commercial landscaping, and I've been having a hard time getting traffic that is specific to commercial properties. This company does not do any residential landscaping, only commercial, but we were not getting any clicks when I was targeting commercial specific keywords. It didn't matter how broad the keywords were, what companies, what combinations, there was no activity going on. I went ahead and opened it up to general landscaping keywords, and that helped us get a lot of traffic and even some calls and leads, but they've all been for residential properties. What can I do to get relevant commercial property landscaping traffic when the search volume is so low for these terms? Now, Jason, I have to say, for those that are listening, this seems like a very specific question about commercial landscaping, but this applies to tons of businesses that do a service plus a niche, right? They do something plus something. So, for example, they do landscaping plus commercial. So this gets a lot of people in trouble. I do a lot of B2B work, like Jason said, and very common. I think we have some thoughts on this, and we can totally disagree and have conflicting ideas, but I think that's the good part of the PSP. So let me know.
Well, Chris, yeah, the situation, it's but even beyond just someone who does one service and then within a niche, the way I would phrase it is people who do a service for the commercial space for other businesses.
A
ton of the search volume, people search the same way. So like someone who's sitting in a property management office and they run a 100-unit apartment building and they're looking for commercial landscapers, their boss tells them, find us some landscapers this week. They're going to go to Google. They're going to search landscapers in Miami the same way someone with a 3,000 square foot house looking to pay a landscaper a couple hundred bucks a month or whatever would search. So the problem is there's way more residential landscapers. There's way more to consumer in a lot of industries than there is to business, but people search for it the same way. So the percent of the volume is just way, way higher for consumer. And in this case, that would be residential. So the question is, how do you get around that? So I have some ideas. Chris, let's just start off with what I need you to give me a key, like a key for a map, you know, a legend to when I have a cuss word, like a word that starts with a B and ends with a T, and some people refer to it as BS. I need a substitute word I can put in there.
Okay.
So what word would I put in there right now?
One of my favorite podcasts will have the word flower bed. They'll say flower
bed. Okay, so let me give you the flower bed answer, Vanessa. This is what any run-of-the-mill, non-hosting of a podcast Google Ads manager might tell you as they slide in there and take your money and do horrible work. Well, why don't we just put commercial in the ad copy, and then that way when people search for landscapers in Miami, they'll see that, oh, that's for a commercial company and I'm looking for residential, so I'm not going to click on their ad. And then only the people who want commercial will click on the ad because it says commercial in that. So I'm just going to send you my invoice for $1 trillion right now and we'll try this out and I'll get back to you in 5 years, okay? So, Chris, what do you think of that flower bed answer? Is it flower bed?
Yeah. Oh, it is absolute flower bed. And I have a super short answer. People don't read your ad copy. They don't read it.
Clients read their own ad copy.
Oh, yeah, they do. And they have plenty of thoughts about using the word free versus complimentary and stuff like that. Crap that just wastes, you know, and burns years of my life. But yeah, I got news for you. Your searchers in general do not read that well-written, whether you're going to say the word free or complimentary. They don't care and they don't read it. One quick thing. One thing they do notice, Jason, they do notice price points. They do notice if you put if you put $3,000 in a price point, they will see that. I have noticed a difference in that.
Wow, Chris, that's what I'm. That's the kind of insight I'm looking for on the show, because the most flower bed common answer we hear is put commercial in your ad copy, scare the people away. But I like what you said, Chris. There's a way you can kind of do that, but it has to do with the money.
Yeah.
So that's one strategy to try. Now, let's continue with the one of my theories, Chris, is sometimes you just have to suck it up and target these overall keywords. Landscapers in Miami, you just have to target the overall keyword, knowing that 90, 95% of the traffic, who knows, but a huge percent is going to be for residential. Now, my recommendation on how you get around that with these regular keywords is, number one, you have to have great conversion tracking in place if you're going to try to walk this line and try to square this circle. So you have to have great conversion tracking in place, but assuming you do, then I think you just target these regular keywords as one strategy, but you just bid super low amounts knowing that the good conversion rate, like the amount of leads you get where they're actually a commercial area and they're looking for a commercial landscaper, is going to be super, super low. But I don't like the idea of turning off the word landscapers in Miami, landscaping company Miami, when 10%, whatever, those are going to be commercial. So how do you feel about continuing to target those, putting the high price points in the ad copy to kind of catch people's eye, maybe along with the commercial stuff in the ad copy, but the price point really catches their eye, and doing low bids on those regular keywords because you can still get something from them. Does that sit well with you?
Yeah, it does. And Vanessa, I would say my thought is this. If this was my campaign or my clients, I would have a commercial campaign with a very wide radius. I'm going to tell you right now, literally,
as wide as you can go for your business,
literally right? Ignore what they said and add another 5 or 10 miles on top of that. If they told you that we'll do a 5 mile radius, ignore that and add 15. Okay. Go wider than they said. And
this is a guy with a lot of experience.
Do here. A commercial because they don't understand the
you've seen this.
Yeah, they don't understand the complexity of geographic targeting, right? IP address.
Some rich guy lives in a Miami suburb, 30 minutes from downtown, but he owns a big property downtown.
Exactly. Exactly. There's all kinds of reasons why you don't need a 5 mile radius. So do a wide radius. Put bids at a very high percentage for commercial. Make sure it's tight. Make sure it always has to include commercial or business landscaping. Not landscaping business, but business landscaping, things like that. Bid high. Try and get a 90% search impression share. Get at the top of those positions and expect to spend a little bit of money. Just like you're not going to spend much. Then you have a second one, just like Jason said. Prioritize it. Give it as much budget as you can. You know, whatever the other one's not using, give it that budget. And bid low, bid carefully. Don't get out of hand. But just put in the ad copy whatever you can to try and scare them away. It's not going to work.
Dollar points.
You know, dollar points might be nice. You know, just put, you know, commercial is the very first headline one, the first word. You know, put the word commercial. You know, whatever you can do, it's not necessarily going to work for that, but
apartments, building, warehouses, whatever.
Stuff like that. So put that on there and let them both run. And then on that general residential one, put a much tighter radius. Put a 5 mile.
The generic keywords,
Under what they said, right? Be very tight about that and ignore all competitor searches, block all competitor searches. And that's about as good as you can do. That's about as good as you can do.
You would block competitor.
Oh, yeah. Unless there's some competitor out there that only does
commercial. Unless there's a commercial competitor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good point. Chris, I would say on the commercial ones, of course, have conversion tracking in place. But on those ones, even though you're not going to spend a ton because the volume's low, I would bid a ton. Like I'd be, since there's not a lot of volume, I'd be trying to get to the number one spot as long as it's within your conversions.
But they need to be only commercial companies. They don't need to be like companies that also do residential.
Commercial key. Right. I'm saying that, but I'm saying also on the commercial landscaping keywords, the commercial campaign, since it's low volume and valuable, probably bid it up. And the reason it's valuable is because someone looking for landscapers at their home, they're paying $50, $100 a month, whatever it is. Someone looking for commercial landscapers for 100 apartment units, for 5 warehouses, whatever, you never know who's doing that search. It could be a national chain with 15 stores in the metro, and you kind of missed out on it because you weren't willing to bid the extra 20% to be in the number one spot. So it's more valuable. That's why you would want to bid up. Chris, here's a great tip. National people searching about Miami.
It's possible.
I would block all other countries in the world and then allow it to run people searching in or about Miami as long as they're in the United States, because it could be some investor who owns property in Miami and he's sitting in Ohio, you know? And I'm not talking about Miami, Ohio.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. And that's a third campaign. So basically what we've talked about is clients that are running three campaigns, local for just general landscaping stuff, a second one that's commercial only, that's a little bit wider, and then a national that's commercial only, that is the widest it can get. And those last two have the highest bids, and the very first one, the residential one, has the lowest bids. And that's it. I mean, and don't get micromanaged. Don't let them try and tell you, hey, we're getting too many calls from residential. I say, you know what? Sometimes...
do your tracking.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't sort the pepper for the fly poop.
But Chris, this problem's so hard, just to finish up here, you gotta throw everything at it. You gotta do income bidding, you gotta do demographics. There's no 18 to 34 year olds that own commercial real estate. And I don't wanna hear it about it could be someone searching on their thing. It could be, but you know what? I would just maybe don't exclude 25 to 34, but maybe just bid them down or really pay attention to it. And then one kind of like, I would say it's a desperate strategy, Chris. Layering on audiences who are interested in business services, audiences who are, if there's something like people in the market for commercial real estate, possibly you could actually just target those and not do observation. People interested in or in the market for commercial real estate, only those people when they're searching either commercial landscaping or regular landscaping keywords, but they have to be interested in the market for commercial real estate as an audience that you're targeting. I would say maybe don't lead with that. Don't make that your only strategy, but maybe that's something I would have going. Have it on observation, and then if you're actually getting some volume there, maybe try it out and actually target it and limit your traffic, but open up your traffic because you're doing the more general keywords, but you're limiting it by people who are in the market for commercial real estate. But the problem is, what if someone's not in the market for commercial real estate because they already own 15 right. properties, you know? Yeah. So you got to be careful when you limit yourself like that, but it's an idea.
This is, I mean, so we're talking about landscaping and commercial landscaping. All of these answers apply to anybody who has the question, I can't get any traffic. I can't find
consumer versus business. Yep.
Yeah.
It applies to everything.
People aren't searching for it. I know they want it, but I can't find the right kind of keywords. This is a discussion of how to apply that. So it's you may not do landscaping, but there's plenty of people that fit into this, this issue.
And Chris, we gave good advice. We gave it our best effort. We're going to step back now. We're going to let Vanessa take it from here. Have a good time with this kind of campaign. It's something that I just don't want to get involved with
because
it's actually really freaking tough. And so we gave some good advice, but man, is it not one of the toughest things in Google Ads, Chris, where some people searching those keywords are good for you, but the vast majority aren't? That's a tough situation.
I don't know if I said it in the Patreon or I think I said it in the Patreon just this Monday. I think I said my least favorite client. I think I have it in my notes right here. My least favorite client are clients. What did I say? That are service plus niche, where it's like one specific thing plus a niche. And it's usually very difficult because people don't search service plus niche. They rarely search, I want landscaping for my restaurant. That's not what they search. They just search landscapers.
But you know, Chris, here's my beef. Because Google Ads is so perfect because we have so much control, we have to be told, hey, I only want this niche service and not all these other things. You think they tell that to their radio guy? You think they tell that to their TV guy? Of course not. They just bow down on their knees and go, here's all my money. Oh, I see it on TV. You're so cool. Like, they don't have to be held to that standard, and we do. So maybe it comes down to people are trying to be too perfect with Google Ads. If they would actually put the work in to get all their conversion tracking in place and B, put values on those conversions and actually know the lifetime value of a customer, and then they could see the conversion value, and then they could be comfortable bidding on that stuff where you're only going to get a small number of good conversions, but you actually have real conversion value numbers and you can see that it's profitable and you can still use the system the way it was meant to be used. Maybe people should be trying to do that instead of trying to square the circle, as I say.
Jason,
how do you like that? Where's my horse? Because I'm feeling like I'm on my
how
high
dare
horse
you?
Today.
How dare you expect more out of those business owners to think beyond just what happened today? How dare you?
Well, it's not for me. It's for them. It's like if we have such an opportunity here with Google Ads, but if you try to turn it into something it's not because of your lack of ability to put good conversion tracking in place. And even a bigger problem, Chris, your lack of ability to actually know the average lifetime value of a new customer. So many advertisers don't go through that process. And then you're just kind of, you don't know what you're doing. So give yourself some vision and know the lifetime value. So it's my turn to read a question here, Chris. My question is from Robert from the United Kingdom. Robert has had to close his stores due to the coronavirus situation, and now that he has some downtime until he's allowed to reopen again, he has paused all his Google Ads campaigns that he manages himself, and he wants to know what is one thing he can do during this downtime in his Google Ads campaign to clean up or to evaluate, to kind of improve his performance when he's allowed to open his stores again and turn his campaigns back on. So basically, we've got an advertiser. They're not running their ads. Have you heard of that lately? Yes, I've heard a lot of that. What is the best thing you can do during your downtime to kind of improve things going forward? Maybe stuff you normally wouldn't have time to do during the week-to-week rush of business when your campaign's normally on.
Robert, it's gonna, I don't think entire campaign restructures are worthwhile. I don't think that's worth it. Even though you have a bunch of time, I think the effort invested, even if you have the extra time, is not worth the payout. So I think I think my favorite thing is going to be, this is something that takes a lot of time. There's probably tools out there that maybe could do it faster, but one of my favorite things to do is just sit down and use my creative mind to go through the search terms. And I love to pull up the search terms, do a long history, as long as you can do with reliable data, and scroll until you get to like the one impression, one click stuff. Start looking for consistencies on certain terms. They might mention a mattress type or style or color, or I don't know about size, queen, king, stuff like that's going to be very common. That's not going to be, I'm looking for very specific little nuggets. Yeah. You know, like, you know, mattresses that fit a bunk. And what you do is you do a filter, create a filter based on that one word that has the word bunk in it. Or maybe you find that there's a lot of phrases having to do with soft, you know, or how many of them include the word pillow in them. Okay. So what you do is you create
salesman.
Yeah.
Weird one-off, once a month searches where you get some search about mattress salesman in movies or something, and you just haven't caught it yet.
So what I love
in a negative context,
what I love to do is find those things that you have, assuming you have lots of data. This is not going to work if you only have like 2 months or 6 months of data. I don't know that this would be that useful, but you're going to a lot of data.
I like a year.
And what you do is look through them and see if you filter to only show things that include soft or bunk or pillow in them. If the search term includes that, how does that change your numbers? How does that change all the campaigns that include the word pillow? Does it bring up your conversion rate?
So a filter.
Rate? Yeah, filter. Filter at the search term level.
Okay.
That's all it is. And just look to see, like, is your click-through rate higher? Is your conversion rate higher? Notice anything particularly interesting about that? And usually this is a time-consuming process because you kind of have to look and browse. And sometimes you may come across nothing. Other times there may be something really interesting. So you say, okay, Chris, I did that. What do I do with that information? If you find anything that really sticks out, what I would suggest doing is possibly creating a new ad group and targeting that. You know, setting up something. I'm not saying to block it. If you find that pillow is very interesting, don't block it in the other ad groups. But create one that's specifically targeting pillow. That's the kind of stuff that I think would be really useful with some extra time, you know, while you're quarantined at home.
Can also get some ad copy ideas from just seeing what words are included in the search terms. And Chris, I want to say maybe never. I was going to say we don't talk about this often, but maybe never. But I think maybe once or twice. But if you go to the overview section of Google Ads, they have, sometimes when you have a lot of volume, they have a searches box.
Yes.
And it shows you searches, which are search terms. And then it also shows you words, if you want to filter for words. And there's actually a lot of different, I'm looking at a high volume account. There's a lot of them. And they break up the words and the search terms. And I'm looking at like one of my campaigns. I see the word free. They broke out as one word. Misses, they broke out as a one word. Is, they broke out. So I love your idea there, Chris. When you actually break up search terms into words, either through this tool on the overview page or just looking at it manually.
I'll tell you one thing that I've found that you may never really think about is do a search term filter for space, I-N, space. So in other words, if someone types mattress store in whatever city. So basically, if someone's searching mattress store in, do a filter for space in space. So it's just that. And then what you may find is that, you know, it may be really interesting to find when people do local searches, how does that change the effect of the ads? Do you get a better conversion rate when they're looking locally as opposed to just online searches?
You know, what's crazy, Chris, is, on the overview page under searches, they on just words, they do have the word in on this account. The word in, like you're saying, like they basically did a filter for you. Mm-hmm. And when you hover over it, it tells you your some clicks and impressions and the total. But then it actually is in, the word in. But then when you click on it, and it takes you to the search terms and it says search terms contain in. They didn't do the space.
Yep.
Like you're talking about. Yep. And so it included words that include the letters IN in them. And
exactly.
It didn't do it for you. So I like the overview tool. It kind of can get you started. But yes, doing proper filters.
That's why I said you have to do space IN space. That's very important.
Yeah. So, Chris, just a lot of downtime stuff you couldn't normally do. My instincts were like yours. It was to look at the search terms last 12 months, not just last 14 days, last 30 days like normal, and actually really dig into it, like you said. And then honestly, Chris, for some high volume accounts, one thing I find myself struggling with is things get unwieldy, things get built out over long periods of time, and I do like consolidating my structure when I have downtime. It's very, very difficult work. You're doing a lot of moving things around. You got to make sure you're not making errors. But when there is downtime, I do like kind of pruning an account and kind of continuing to make it as simple as possible in terms of its structure, because that pays off with better management going forward. And obviously it's a lot easier to do that when you're not running and you have some downtime, but it's not a fun thing to do, and you never want to let it get to that point. But if you are dealing with an unwieldy situation, that's a good time for it. So, Chris, it looks like we have room for one more question. So,
okay, so I got to tell you guys this important question from Alexander from Austria, Upper Austria, is a great question. Before I tell you, I'm going to tell you about opteo.com/psp2 is the URL to go to. opteo.com/psp2 will give you a 2-month free trial to check out their time-saving management tool. Okay, so guys out there that run agencies, you're a freelancer, or you're in-house and you work for a really large company, right? This tool is for you. Whether you work with 15 accounts or 100 accounts, this tool, they have different payment structures or pricing structures based on how many. So it's really simple. If you work with 25 accounts, you're going to pay one price, and you have, you know, 50 accounts, you're going to have another price. It's priced for everyone. The guy who just has, you know, a few clients just getting started is designed for you, and it will help you get things done faster. The guys who have tons of accounts and are pressured for time don't have the time to manage campaigns. This tool is designed to help you get things done faster, and they have a pricing specifically for you. All very affordable. And I'll tell you what, the most affordable thing is the fact that it's all free to try for 2 months. opteo.com/psp2. Use the chat box and ask for the special paid search podcast 2-month free trial.
Thanks, Chris. And I want to tell everyone who runs Google Ads for local businesses or for many local businesses to check out elitelocalads.com. Elite Local Ads is a comprehensive training program put together by our friend Kyle Solaru, designed to help you get more customers for any local business using Google Ads. Elite Local Ads is all about helping you get more customers for any kind of local business using proven Google Ads formula that's guaranteed to work. It's basically a blueprint for local business advertising with Google Ads that you can apply to your business or to multiple businesses if you're running local campaigns for clients. There's different modules, keywords, settings and ads, tracking setup, campaign optimization, retargeting. Go to elitelocalads.com. Check out the offer. It's a great offer. It is not inexpensive, but the value is off the charts, and there's a 30-day refund policy if you're at all worried about the investment. Kyle has had over 150 students, and he's only ever had one person request a refund. See more for yourself at elitelocalads.com, including several testimonials from people who have been through the program themselves. Again, that's for anyone running Google Ads for local businesses. Check out elitelocalads.com.
Alexander from Austria. Hey guys, love your show. You're doing a great job there. I have one question concerning audience targeting in Google Ads. Wouldn't it be smart if you add all the affinity and in-market audiences to your campaign, to your search campaign, I might add, at the observation targeting level? Alexander sounds like He sounds like an entrepreneur, a guy that's looking for opportunities.
He sounds like that kid in class where everyone knows the teacher got a divorce, but no one's going to talk about it. But the little kid raises his hand and is like, why would you get a divorce? Isn't that a lot of emotional stress and a big financial hit? That's not a good thing to do. Well, no, Alexander, it's not, but things happen in life and you're a young child and you don't understand. Yes, Alexander, like, yes, adding every single affinity and in-market audience at the observation level, if that's even possible. I don't know if there's a limit on how many audiences you can add at one time. But yeah, it's theoretically, it's correct. Practically, I never hardly ever do this. But I would say maybe Alexander's question is a wake-up call. This should be a challenge for us, for all Paid Search Podcast listeners. No one involved with the Paid Search Podcast should ever run a search campaign ever again without at least one audience added as an observation to at least get that ball rolling. It should be a thing we do every time. Would you say that's fair, Chris?
I think so. I think it's worth at least adding the highest level of the audiences. So if you're looking at the in-market audience, the affinity audiences, adding at least the highest level of those audiences, you know, not breaking out the tree into the 1,500 other subcategories that they have, but having the highest level on there so that it turns out if there's any boost for people that are in the travel arena, if they do a little bit better, you know, that could be worth it. Now, I'll say one thing. I think you were hinting at this in your very strange allusion about divorce. The thing is,
No, I'm taking it back. I don't like it, Chris, because, yeah, theoretically you could say is correct. But if you're not target, I shouldn't use that word because target observation, you got to be careful. Yeah. If you observe every single audience, hey, isn't that basically like you're observing no audiences? Like, don't you have to be able to look at your data and actually get something from it and not look at 500 different audiences and kind of not be able to pull significant insights from it? Like, let's use our brains. Let's use only the audiences that we would think would have some relevance. Maybe let's take a shot, use a few out of the box ones. But I don't like the idea of going to, honestly, Chris, just managing a campaign and then you get this lower priority thing you're spending time with, just taking a shot at these audiences. And then you've got to kind of look at 70 different audiences and try to grab something from it. I think there's probably more valuable keeping it to a manageable level. If something doesn't work, take it out, try something new. But I don't like the idea of going in there and having to sort through dozens and dozens.
I'd meet you halfway and say, I agree, Alexander. I think it's too much to add everything. I don't think everything is worth it. I think I'm going to say, for standard practices, for your ability to even consume the amount of data that would be available with all of them, I would say just do the top level ones. I think it's about 20, 25, 30, something like that, total, if you wanted to add the in-market audiences and the affinity, add those. And the reason I say add all of them is because... He's throwing a fit. Don't leave your headphones on.
Because, no, here's my thing, Chris. I'm going to finish my thing. Nope, if you're running a moving campaign, listen, you're
Beyonce
not.
Beyonce had the
no,
best.
You're if it, no, you're not. No, you're not. Oh, you said Beyonce. I'm sorry. Go
ahead. Okay. So.
I got distracted.
Okay. So the reason I say all of them is because you never know what high-level thing. I was looking in the campaign the other day, and it was a travel in-market.
Garbage.
It was an in-market affinity. Garbage. I don't remember which one, but it was a travel, and it was perfect. I was like, of course this fits. That makes perfect sense. And it was beautiful, and I never would have added it because I didn't think about it. I didn't think initially that it would make a difference, but I saw the conversion volume on that observation audience, and it made sense. Okay.
Was it an in-market one or an affinity?
I think affinity.
You know what I don't, you know what I'm having a little problem with, Chris, is I don't like the idea of running a moving campaign and then seeing that fast food enthusiasts have a slightly higher conversion rate and then making a decision
right.
on that. Like, I just, my concern is there's going to be a lot of noise in that data and there may not be the patience to actually gather a statistically significant amount. And just speaking from personal experience, I've screwed myself over with demographic data before, making two drastic decisions too quickly. And that was demographic data. So imagine when you get into fast food enthusiasts, people that love comedy movies. Like, I'm just worried about the noise of the data. That's all. That's all. Just a little concern from an experienced advertiser.
Just to say, the reason I called out travel is because it had to do with an industry that would make a big difference when people traveled. You know, it would make a big difference in their interest in this product or service. So that's the idea. I completely agree. Just because they're you happen to get a really good conversion rate with fast food enthusiasts or someone who likes role-playing games, who the heck cares? Unless there's a direct connection, I would say don't take action on that because you have no idea why. You have no information about why someone's in that group. You can't look at that group any closer. You can't segment that group out to figure out which clicks.
That group could change over time.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. You have no ability to control it. It changes. It's constantly organic the way it changes. So in the end, add a moderate amount and
manageable amount,
and then change them if your gut tells you, yes, there's a connection here.
All right, Chris, we nailed it in terms of our time, just our internal time here. Yeah. I love it. You know, I get a feeling of emptiness, especially during these times on Fridays, knowing that that's when we record the Thursday show, by the way, is Fridays. And it's just like the close to our week. And I don't see you again until we record Thursdays. And it's a long 6 days. And I worry about you, to be honest. I worry about you.
Why?
And I wish... I wish we could do this every day, Chris. I just need an hour every day. That's all I need. Every single day of your life. Do you want to commit to that right now?
Yeah, I got a great hourly rate. I can pitch you. Just sign up. Sign up for my training, and I'll give you 1 hour every day. It's a great rate. Lots of people do it.
Now, when I do that, do you want me to actually put my name and show up like this, or do you want me to put a fake name and wear like the little costume design and talk in a French accent? Hello, Chris. I'm a big fan.
If you paid my going rate for training and you did that, I mean,
I can wear whatever I want.
I would talk to you and pretend it was not actually you and play your role playing game. Absolutely. I would.
Maybe you're playing it right now and you don't know it. So thanks for listening, everyone. Thank you for leaving us reviews. Please leave us reviews. Please share the show. We're making a big push here in 2020. It's April, and I would love to see how much the show grows, doing it twice a week throughout the rest of the year. So thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. We'll see you on Monday on the next episode of the Paid Search Podcast.